Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery, taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings every night, my love I bring to you.
Bye.
All right. All right. Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People Show. My name is Yamsouf Arif. And this is a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view about our Creator, and most importantly, in relationship to that Creator, relationships. Our relationships are vital, not only with our Creator, but one another, and with strangers, different nations. Oh, it's true. And by the way, talking about different nations, strangers, did you know that Joseph, one of the founding members of this nation, Joseph, you know, he had a different attitude, unlike some of us, in regards to different nations. He was incarcerated by them just like we are. But he had a different approach. Now, Joseph could have very well hung out on the prison bars and cursed the Hamites, the Mizraims, and called them ugly, bad words and whatnot. And he could have talked negatively about Potiphar's wife who got him in that position once he got a great job and whatnot. But he chose not to. He chose to reaffirm his relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And by that, I mean trust in him, rely on him, not in the system that he was in. Now, as I said, he could have very well got toxic and poisonous in that system and blamed Potiphar's wife, blamed his brothers, blamed everybody. Just a toxic, poisonous behavior, which quite unlike some of us. Joseph chose to be a humble type person, chose to be constructive, chose to see the better side of things in relationship to different nations also, the Hamites, Mizraim, Egyptians. So instead of complaining, being a chronic complainer, he just buckled down in the prison system that they put him in because of Potiphar's wife lies and whatnot. And when the opportunity by Yah presented itself, he acted constructively. He helped people in the system. He helped the cupbearer, the baker. You know, he gave him vital information. Now, on the other hand, for one of them, it didn't work out too well for him. But on the other hand, it worked out very well for him. The dreams that Joseph interpreted for them while he was in that prison system, doing something constructive and positive within the confines of that relationship with the Creator and with different nations. And so as a result of having a constructive, solidified relationship with the Creator put him in a position that people talked about him, not in a negative sort like they do us because we don't have anything constructive to be talked about, to be told. But they talked about him in a constructive sort. Hey, and when the Pharaoh was having a problem with dreams and he was disturbed, and the person that helped him, you know, because he was constructive, said, hey, I was in prison with a young fella, Hebrew Israelite. He looked remotely like us, but he was rather a pleasant, constructive. As a matter of fact, he was so pleasant and constructive, the prison guards had him in charge. Because he was so constructive and positive. And as a matter of fact, he helped me with my dream. He said, I'm going to be right back in my spot. So Pharaoh, as a result, being informed by these individuals, that by this individual, this one individual in particular, being informed by him because of the constructive relationship Joseph had with him, and the informative relationship, told Pharaoh, and Pharaoh brought Joseph before him and to interpret his dream, which he did. And everybody knows the story. At the end of the story, Joseph became second in command because of a constructive and positive relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, most importantly. And pivotal upon that, you will find out, well, if you hadn't found out, with his brothers and with strangers, different nations, okay? So it does work out for you very well, having constructive relationships. And we learned that yesterday, right? King Jehoshaphat. Well, the Most High said, all Hebrews ain't good Hebrews, partner. and some of them you can't deal with. It ain't gonna do you no good anyway. All relationships are not good relationships. I'm just say that. Rather, it's with other another Hebrew Israelite or with strangers of a different nation. All relationships are not constructive relationships for you. Those relationships must be contingent on the relationship that you have with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yes, we did find that out in our studies. But we're going to find out tonight, the further you get away from constructive relationship with Yah, the further you get away from constructive relationship with one another and a different nations, the end result. As we always say in these study sessions, that first relationship is the most important relationship that you would ever or should ever have in your life, establishing that relationship with your Creator and maintaining that relationship with your Creator. It's true. But before we get started, Cottrell and I, my dear brother and friend from, he's another lead student along with me on the Real Talk for Real People show. Before we get started, bless him and his family. But before we get started, I simply like to make two contemporary comments on ongoing subject matter. It seems that they have started giving Haiti some help. All praises to Yah. Haiti has finally started getting some help. And I pray that that help is constructive and positive and continue. Not the patch work they've been giving them, but something more consistent, something more constructive, something more long-lasting, not a patchwork design. Patching up an old bottle, so to speak. Something that they can bite their teeth in, some longevity. I pray that the Most High make that opportunity available for them, because these NGOs and whatnot have not often looked into the best interest of the Haitians. It's true. Also, it seems that the Afghanistans seem to be getting a little bit of help. It seems that the Taliban are walking around parading themselves, and the weaponry and the body armor that they've taken away from the American bases that it was been forsaken by the Afghanistan army. So they're parading around in body armor and M4 American weapons. And they got a lot out of the deal, if you ask me. And last but not least, some of you may be saying to yourselves, well, you know, I need my vote. Well, they could care less about your vote. Matter of fact, they ain't talked very much about your vote ever since everything got started. You see, when it comes to you, they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. What's more important to them is what's going on right now. And that's with the Afghanis and the Taliban and whatnot. They sort of skirted your mess off to the backside, as they always do. So it shouldn't come as a shock to you, because you don't have a constructive and positive relationship with these people. So it shouldn't come as a shock to you. Don't get mad. Get constructive. Reach out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Okay? That's what you should have did in the first place. My name is Yamsuf Arif. And let me bring my dear brother and friend on, Cottrell. May the Most High bless you and your family. Shalom, brother.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Yisrael. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yamsuf Arif. And may the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you and yours also.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate it too, brother.
Thank you. You kept it kind of compact tonight. Talked about my favorite, one of my favorite characters, one of my favorite ancient fathers, Joseph.
Right.
And we were talking about Joseph and all the ones that the Most High dealt with in ancient times.
Right.
They had superpowers. Joseph had superpowers because he was able to interpret dreams that nobody else could. But what's the thing that gave him superpowers was his humility and integrity.
Exactly.
Like you said, He wasn't pompous. It wasn't all about him.
Mm-mm.
And insofar as Potiphar's wife, he could have had a good time with her. But his integrity told him, nope, the Most High is watching me. And it's a violation for me to sleep with you because you are another man's wife.
Right.
So, all relationships are not good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
it's
you have
true.
To know the difference.
It's true, Cartrell. And Cartrell, fellow students, you better believe those words that just come out of Cartrell's mouth, okay?
Well, we see that in the stories of our kings. And why would our, you know, the stories of our kings be written down? Because the kings are the example of what the people should be doing. And we know that King Ahab was on the wrong path. He worshiping idols and following Jezebel, and his relationship with the Most High wasn't good.
Exactly.
Whereas King Jehoshaphat had a good relationship with Yah.
Amen.
But he didn't really evaluate his brother, his friend, King Ahab's relationship with Yah. And the fact that King Ahab didn't have a relationship with Yah, even though you're my brother and I love you, I got to step off from you, man. I can't really function and work with you until you get it right.
Exactly. Whole point. You can't jeopardize your relationship with Yah for your relationship with anybody.
So praise Yah that Haiti's finally getting help. They didn't make no mention of Haiti in the news tonight. I was watching. Afghanistan. But the people in Afghanistan ain't facing half of what the people in Haiti is facing. You're talking about a 7.2 earthquake and then a storm on top of that. So I know the Afghans want to get out of Afghanistan, but how about my brothers and sisters in Haiti? And Haiti's only half the island. Haiti is only half the island of Hispaniola.
Right.
And you mean to tell me these world powers can't help half an island?
Exactly.
You're talking about a whole country. You're talking about half an island.
Right.
So,
but you know, Santo Domingo, they have a lot of universal white race supremacy tendencies about themselves.
Uh-huh.
And so they have a lot of that, even with the so-called brothers and sisters in that nation. They mistreat them. So you know damn well they ain't going to help the Haitians. Okay.
So they're all on the same island.
Exactly.
Santo Domingo should be the first country to help their neighbor, Haiti. Right?
Yeah. They should.
Wait till it hits Santo Domingo.
Exactly.
Sooner or later.
Y'all
coming to get that.
The chicken come home to roost, and a boomerang always come back around.
And you watch how you treat your brother.
Yep.
So,
well, like I said, Katria, they're into that. Just like a lot of these Latino countries, they're into that universal, even Puerto Rico. And I know this personally speaking, being stationed there in the 70s as a young Marine and recently going back in 2013. They still got that mindset of colonialism, and they feel the closer that skin hue association with universal white race supremacy, they're better than those less skin hue association, okay? And I've seen it. I tasted it. I smelled it. I touched it. And I don't like dealing with them, truth be told.
Everybody likes to jump on the winner's bandwagon.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they're on top right now. They have world dominance. And everybody wants to go with a winner. But trust me, it's a long game. And Yah's controlling. He's the judge in the game.
Exactly.
You mentioned the Taliban. And I was watching the news today. The American troops abandoned all this high-tech, low-tech military equipment.
Did you see that? All the weaponries and everything?
Yeah. That's like, it reminded me of King Jehoshaphat, right?
Yeah.
Those nations came out against him. The Assyrians, the Moabites, the Ammonites. And y'all told them, don't worry about it. You know, this is going to happen. They're going to be at this spot. I want y'all to meet them, come out. Came out with singing and all that, right? And they got the victory because y'all had killed these people.
Exactly.
But the end result what did they say about the booty?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He was collecting that booty for 3 days. Precious
so
treasures from these fallen soldiers.
Right. So basically, the Taliban just collected a whole lot of booty. Okay. And then had to shoot a shot.
So, Yasu. How would you rate the Taliban? Because
as far as fighters,
to my recollection, they kicked the Russians out the first time, right? Superpower.
Right. Yeah.
And now they're kicking the Americans out. Superpower.
They kicked not only the Russians, they kicked the British out. These guys are long game players. They're not short game players. They don't play the short game. They play the long game. Okay.
And the world is talking about how they treat their women.
Right.
Their women should admire them. What can they say about their men? These Taliban dudes beat down two superpowers. What other nation can claim that on Earth?
No, three.
Yeah, three.
British.
Three. Excuse me.
Russia and the United States of America. And in between, hold on. You got to consider Greece. When Greece was a superpower and Greece tried to come through there, they beat them down. They've been beating down superpowers for the longest, bro. It ain't nothing new with them.
Their women should admire them.
Right.
But they need to change their caveman mentality about their women and respect their women more.
Right.
Because their women are producing these warriors that beat superpowers.
Man, what you said?
Yeah.
We need some women unlike those women. but now we just got booty shakers. Some of us got booty shakers.
I saw a video today.
Uh-huh.
The Taliban is dancing to Drake's music.
Drake?
Yes, Drake.
Taliban
shaking it up to Drake music, son.
Yes, the
Drake. Video is hilarious, son. I think Drake is Taliban.
Hey, look here. Hey, bro. They are careful, man. They are careful. They got them rhythm, man.
Yo. They got the AK-40s in their hand, and they doing their little stuff to Drake, baby.
Hey, look at Ishmael. Yeah, his father, Abraham, too. He got a little feeling, too. You know what I mean? I can't knock him.
It's so funny. I had to post it on my Facebook page, man.
Did you got Drake?
Taliban getting down to Drake.
Were they doing it, Black Contrail?
They dancing what like the hip hop kids over here, son. Taliban.
Oh man, you ought to quit it, man.
Nah, hey, look here. Okay. Was it on film? I wouldn't have believed it.
Well, like I said, you know, their founding father, it was Abraham, and Abraham had flavor. He gave his first son Ishmael flavor too. So if Ishmael over there dancing to Drake, I ain't shocked. It just tickled me, but I ain't shocked.
If you need three superpowers, you have a right to dance.
No, more than that. As a matter of fact, they beat four superpowers. They beat Greece running through there. Greece tried to run through there. They got them. Run them up out of there. That's why you got a lot of those got different color eyes and whatnot, because, you know, Greece, anytime they try to incorporate or dominate a situation, they try to impregnate the women. So, therefore, that's why you probably got a lot of gray eyes and blue eyes and whatnot over there.
They said Genghis Khan tried to conquer them.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
Genghis Khan.
That's why I
said it.
What I'm saying is this, bro. This, they ain't new to this. They true to this. They are long-term fighters. They don't fight for the moment. And that's part of our problem, Cartrell. We have to look at the long game, like you said, instead of the short game. That's our problem. We like to look at short game win. Win a little battle, we think we won the war. You know, and ready to celebrate all over the place. But these guys are long-term fighters. They look at the long game. You know, They, yeah, I want a battle here. I want a battle there. But I'm looking 20, 30, 40 years down the road, you know. So they play the long game just like you said. And that's why in the long run, they end up winning these battles against Greece, Genghis Khan, the Russians, the British, and now, finally, the United States of America. So you have to play the long game, brother. Ishmael can teach you a lesson by playing the long game. All right, Kacho, look here. We
have Phyllis.
Yeah, they are.
Like his father, Israel. Abraham.
Exactly. Certainly is.
What happened to us?
I don't know, bro. You know what? Our problem is this. Ishmael ain't wanted to be nobody but Ishmael, okay?
Exactly.
Our problem, we want to be like everybody else. That's our problem. Stop trying to be like everybody else and be who you are. Ishmael always, and that's why I say, get on out of here. We don't want you, America. We don't want nothing you got. Just get on out of here. See, they ain't trying to, Ishmael ain't trying to go along to get along, ain't trying to be nobody's friend, ain't trying to be like nobody. That's our problem, Cartrell. That was our problem.
They still haven't accepted us.
Yeah, exactly.
With all the efforts, we trying to befriend them and
exactly.
Boats, and they still suppressing your boat.
Yeah.
They're laughing at them.
They ain't talking about it, bro. They got other thing on their mind now. Hell with your boat. they talking about Ishmael. Ishmael got their full attention. The hell with your boat. Because we know you're going to kiss our ass later down the road. So why worry about you and your boat? You'll come back scratching back, kissing our ass. That's what you do. We know you. Go ahead, Country. Fellow listeners. But it's true. Let me bring lovely Ima Yehudah from Michigan on. And she's going to give her commentary or whatnot, talk about any generalities. And then we're going to proceed on with our studies. All right, Sister Yehudah of Michigan. May the Most High bless you.
Sister Yehudah. Hey, excuse me. Caught me with my mouth full. I'm chewing. I'm having a nice salad.
Okay. That's a good
idea. I thought you were going to say you was having a senior moment.
No. Here come the jokes now. I still got the jokes.
Well, you are our senior, so we give you that respect.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, listening to you guys talk about Ishmael.
Right.
I mean, and I was looking closely in Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
And you're right. America.
Don't cover your mouth full now.
I'm not. Can you hear me? Wait a minute. Okay. America went over there to get the poppy fields and whatever they resources they needed. And then they were really ready to leave. And regardless what they say about the Taliban, because some of them are freedom fighters and not as terrorists, because it's been out lately that the terrorist is actually in the United States. But they had to the other day say, when that man had him held up for 5 hours and he didn't have a bomb, they had to link, wait a minute, they had to link the Taliban to it. They had to spin it to say that it can open up corridors for the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Now, that's a lie, because they just said that we've got to deal with the ingrown terrorists,
exactly.
Not the outside terrorists.
Right.
So I said, media, make up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then another thing, another topic, which I was doing, I was observing how they keep pushing this COVID, but guess what? Here in Michigan, I can't talk elsewhere. Nobody's dying. Not to say I want people to die, but no one is dying. They're just saying who has it.
Right.
And another brother brought up, if it's a variant, it shouldn't be stronger. It should be weaker.
Exactly.
They keep saying this is another variant that is strong. Well,
right.
If it's mutating, how could it be stronger? What
right.
made it mutate to be stronger? These are the questions we have to ask. Like, this doesn't make sense.
Right.
So we have to be careful, people, and look, you know, really search out the truth to determine your destination. Because if you don't, you'll be lost. And like you said, with the boat.
Right.
You know, So I agree. Exactly. I concur. So thank you very much. I'm going to put myself on mute and listen to the lesson.
No. Don't put yourself on mute.
Yeah, gotcha.
There's many viruses, right? HIV is a virus, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the variant to HIV?
No.
So AIDS is HIV.
Right.
So what he said,
no
he
variant.
What there
about
no...
swine flu and avian flu? There was never any variants, were there? Now all of a sudden you got variants and viruses.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You're right. I don't get it.
Nobody thinks, Imam. Nobody thinks. They just listen to the propaganda and it makes them scared and it overrides their thinking. They stop thinking.
I remember when it first came out, COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
how they were putting the numbers up on the screen. Oh,
mm-hmm.
5,000 people died this week, 10,000
mm-hmm.
the next week, 7,000 this week. But they stopped putting those numbers up. I'm like, wow.
Right.
Now you got a more deadlier variant, and y'all stopped rolling out the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The last count that I heard was 600,000 people died in America from the COVID. I haven't
mm-hmm.
seen a number since that time.
Right.
And you won't. You won't.
Right.
And you
know,
won't.
plus on top of that, switching just a little bit, because we're kind of on the same theme of things going on in America and elsewhere, that a hurricane is barreling on the East Coast. It might hit New York, New England.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're having tornadoes, but they've never had tornadoes before.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And New York ain't never really been hit by no hurricane.
Mm-mm.
No.
And one barreling up
Hurricane
there?
Hurricane Sandy, but Hurricane Sandy turned into a tropical storm, which pretty much devastated New York. It wasn't even a Hurricane 1 category.
Right.
But if this hurricane hit with any kind of category, trust me, it's going to do worse than Sandy.
Y'all in trouble. Real big trouble.
Yeah.
And my prayers for y'all, would that affect you, Sister Yehuda? I mean, being in Detroit, would it affect you any?
No,
not
that close.
Okay.
We're not that close, right.
Okay, all right.
But we're supposed to get 90 tomorrow, and because Ima said, Hador, that it's going out because
mm-hmm.
of the heat index, and it's putting all the pressure on the transformers.
Right.
And infrastructure, which Biden
mm-hmm.
talked about it, but it's been going on for 30 years, that people have been alerting the government system to fix the infrastructure, not just the roads and the bridges, but the electrical, gas, because one year our governor, Gretchen, I can't remember her last name, she wanted people to decrease. Okay, I wasn't sure. Decrease the amount of heat that you put it in, and it's below zero, because of the gas lines being overtaxed. Now, that didn't make sense to me, or what's going on? That was the strangest thing I've ever heard. She interrupted the program to say, because we had 3 days of cold, that was just, nobody should be outside.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me right there, just 3 days of cold, severe weather,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to ask the public to dial down to 60 to 65.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with the light. Because, like you said, people are running fans, air conditioners, and it puts too much pressure on, I call it the mainframe, something different. Not just
the
transformer. Yeah.
The matrix.
There you go. Oh, and I'm not laughing. That is funny. It's just that people won't wake up to recognize that these are signs of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Change your mind. Change your attitude about things.
We're dependent on electricity. People got heart monitors and they're hooked up to electric devices in their house for medical purposes. And when the electricity goes out, what are they supposed to do? You hope they have backup generators.
Right. Because it's a shame. In some cases, it works, and I'm going to tell you what I mean. I was able to get installed a lift for my mother. And it stated that if there's an electrical problem, it still works. And I'm thinking, wow, do you have a battery? Some things, products do work, some don't, when there's electrical outage. But we have to be careful when we read those things that everything's all interconnected. What I'm saying is that if there's electrical, how in the world, and I couldn't find with electrical, no box, you know, no battery or whatever. So I said we have to be careful what we purchase and think, you know, so I'll end that. Because my mind is on my salad.
Well, let Ima eat her salad, Katrina.
Yeah.
So we can continue.
You don't want to talk with her mouth full.
We don't want to. All right, fellow students, Ima, Katrina, turn to chapter 21 of Chronicles. Let's see about relationships here. At least let's see how this king, after Jehoshaphat, his son, how he started off. Chapter 21.
Oh, yes, sir.
Right. Thank you, ma'am. King Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. May the Most High bless us by his word and his study of his word. And he was buried with his fathers in the city of King David. Now, his son, Jehoram, succeeded him as king. Now, let's see how this relationship starts out. Now, King Jehoram, Ram, down south is Ram, up north probably is Ram. And this king had brothers, sons of Jehoshaphat, his brothers, blood brothers, Azariah, Jehu, Zechariah, Azarahu, Michael, Pethiah. All these were sons of King Jehoshaphat of Israel. The father tried to keep the relationship on an equal scale. He tried to facilitate a constructive relationship with his son. Because he knew he was going to make Jehoram the king, because he was firstborn. So he wanted everybody to have a little something. So he wanted to facilitate a constructive relationship with his son. But his son didn't pick up the pieces in this case. So here's what the father did. He gave them many gifts of silver and gold and other presents. And he gave them fortified towns to be princesses over in Yehuda. And he gave the kingdom, the whole kingdom, to Jehoram because he was firstborn. Now, obviously, King Jehoram, thinker was broken, as we said. He proceeded to take firm hold of his father's kingdom. And he put to sword all of his blood brothers, as well as some of the officers of Israel. King Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king. As a result of his non-constructive relationship, obviously with Yah, because there's no mention of Yah, facilitating, predicating what's happening. So because he didn't have a constructive relationship with Yah, certainly he wasn't going to have a constructive relationship with his brothers and our sisters and the officers in the kingdom. So he only lasted 8 years. He followed the practice of the kings of Israel, which we heard about from previous chapter. They didn't have a constructive relationship with Yah. And so he's following them. He's trying to be like them, doing what the house of Ahab had done. And you know how Ahab did, and you know how he died. You know, he was married to Jezebel. And he was doing the very same thing. He wanted to be like them. For he had married a daughter. Listen, not only was he doing like King Ahab, he married a daughter of King Ahab. And he did what was displeasing to Yah. He married a woman from the Israelite, from our brothers, the side of the 10 tribes. He married a daughter of King Ahab. And also, in conjunction with that, he didn't have a constructive relationship with Yah. He started doing what was displeasing to Yah. However, Yah refrained from destroying the house of King David for the sake of the contract, the covenant. he had made with King Darwin. Because this guy, he started off bad, he did bad, and he ended up bad. He just bad. His relationship with Yah was bad from first quarter. From first quarter, as we said in football, all the way to the halftime through fourth quarter. This guy started off wrong halftime and ended up wrong. Okay? King Jehoram. However, Yah refrained from destroying the house of King Dawood for the sake of the contract, the covenant he had made with King Dawood in accordance, because he had a constructive relationship with King Dawood, with his promise to maintain a lamp for him and his descendant for all time. He promised that. And Yah keeps his word. During his reign, the Edomites rebelled against Jehudah rule and set up a king of their own. King Jehoram advanced against them with his officers and all his chariots. He arose by night and attacked the Edomites. They surrounded him and the chariot commander. Edom had been in rebellion against Jehudah to this very day at that point in time. Libnah also rebelled against him at that time. He just didn't have nothing good because he didn't start off good. He didn't end up good. He didn't start off right with a constructive relationship with Yah, and he didn't end up right with a constructive relationship with Yah. It's all contingent upon that fact. Edom had been in rebellion against Yehudah to this very day. Libnah also rebelled against him at that time. Because he didn't have a constructive relationship with Yah, because he forsaken Yah, Elohim of his fathers. Moreover, not only he compounded the problem, he didn't have a relationship with Yah, then he go out and make some churches on the corner. Moreover, he built shrines in the hill country of Yehudah. He built a church on every corner. He led astray the inhabitants of Jerusalem and made Yehudah not only the king supposed to have a constructive relationship with Yah and setting an example, and the people tend to follow suit. And because he didn't have a constructive relationship with Yah, he couldn't set an example. And what did the people do? They didn't have a constructive relationship with Yah. They doing what the king do, because the king's sitting on the throne of Israel. He's supposed to have a pivotal relationship that's continued upon Yah, and the people sort of see Yah through him. And if the relationship that he's having is like the relationship which King Jehoram had, they have a tendency, and that's the way we are. Let's be honest about that. They have a tendency to follow what the king is doing. Do what the king do. Good enough for the king, it's good enough for me. Have a church on every street corner, which was practically, for all intents and purposes, what he did. And so, a letter from Elijah, the prophet, came to you. Yeah, okay, the bad news finna come. A letter from Elijah the prophet came to him, which read, thus said Yah, Elohim of your father, King Dawood, since you have not followed the practices of your father, King Jehoshaphat, who had a constructive relationship, obviously, with him, and the practices of King Asa of Yehudah. But you have followed the practices of the kings of Israel. You want a church on every corner, leading Yehudah astray, in the inhabitants of Jerusalem, as the house of Ahab led them astray. And also, relative to that, you didn't have a constructive relationship with your brothers, your blood brother. You killed your brothers, which is violation. You did in violation. You spilled innocent blood of your father's house, who were better
than you.
Don't
they do that now? Yeah,
man,
they do that now.
On every street corner, you better believe it. And he said, yo, go ahead.
My book, The Words of Elijah, a little bit stronger.
Okay. Let's say your version of what Elijah said. I want to hear that. I don't want no tea. I want some coffee. Give me the coffee.
Coffee straight black, no milk.
Straight black.
But has walked in the ways of the kings of Israel has made Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring like the whoredoms of the house of Ahab. And also I have slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. So he killed his brothers who were better than him, and he led Israel into fornication and whoredom after the manner of Ahab, king of Israel.
Exactly.
But it shows, damn, we can't put the king on trial for murder. He killed six of his brothers. We can't put him on trial for murder.
Mm-hmm.
No. The king killed six of his brothers. He's like, damn, he's crazy enough to kill his brother. What are you going to do to us?
He'll kill you too.
He done killed the princes, his brothers. Damn, I better not say nothing.
This guy, I mean, he was something else, Cartier and Sister Yehuda.
Yeah.
He was something else, this guy. He was
watching the host of that had them separated.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You rule in this city, you rule in that city, you rule in that city, keep y'all away from each other. Little did he know, the one that he chose had ill intent for all of them.
Exactly.
But as you read on, look what he did to the Edomites. That's deep. But I'm going to be quiet and listen on.
Let's see. I'm going to read my interpretation. So, Shehuda, thank you. And I want Cartrell to read how he is read. I want to hear both. I want to hear the tea side, and I want to hear the coffee side. So I'm going to read the tea side, then Cartrell is going to read the coffee side. Because I want
to
the bourbon. Okay. Thank you, Sister Hood. Thank you, Cartrell. Therefore, Yahweh inflict a great blow upon your people because of you. Your sons, your wives, all your possessions. As for you, you will be severely stricken with a disorder of the bowels. Man, that's, Lord have mercy. Year after year until your bowel drop out of your behind. Till your bowel drop out of your behind. Ooh, Lord have mercy.
How embarrassing is that?
Man, I don't know about embarrassing, but I know it was painful. And you're right, Katria. I would have to agree. That was quite embarrassing. You blew it out your behind. Okay? I think, Katria, Sister Yehuda, y'all do have a weird sense of humor, don't you?
Oh, my God.
Blow it out your behind.
Act like a behind? I'm going to put the pain in your behind.
Blow it out your behind.
And there's something. It was no healing. Nothing. He couldn't be healed.
No healing. He couldn't go to the priest. He couldn't go to the priest and get any healing for that. He could pray
this
to Yah.
This is the point in time.
Right. This is a curse on Yah. There was no healing.
Ball should have asked the Most High to forgive him. That
exactly.
He's sorry. That he's going to change his ways. But did he do that?
No. Double down on the madness, brother.
Nope.
So here, in addition to what Yah does, addition to that, his physical ailment, because he didn't have a constructive relationship with Yah, Yah stirred up the spirits of the Philistines, the Arabs, and who were neighbors of the Cushites against King Jehoram. They marched against Judah, breached its defenses. They carried off all the property that was found in the king's palace, as well as his sons and his wives. Whoa. The only son who remained was Jehoshaphat, his youngest. After this, Yah afflicted him with an incurable disease of the bowel. Couldn't no doctor help him. His mama couldn't help him. His sister, brother, couldn't nobody help him. When Yah put it on him, it was on him. Some years later, instead of with him getting his right, as Cartrell said, getting himself right with Yah, some years later, when a period of 2 years had elapsed, his bowels dropped out because of it. I mean, he was rotten. He was rotten. He was rotten inside. And he died a gruesome death. Oh, Lord. His people didn't even make a fire for him. Like the fire
for his father. Yep, you're right. Go ahead.
They didn't even make no fire for him. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem only 8 years. He departed unpraised and was buried in the city of King David, but not in the tombs of the king. They wouldn't even bury his nest behind where the king was. Cottrell, give us your reading, brother. I want to hear your reading.
Oh, it's pretty much the same. It was just that part.
Oh,
that was
okay.
A little different. But the fact that we always read about the tombs of the kings in Egypt.
Right, right.
We didn't even know that we had the tombs of our kings, too.
Tombs of the kings, too. Right.
Certain
but they didn't
kings
even put him.
Buried with the kings and other kings. Nah, you're not qualified.
Yeah, he could, didn't even want him in there. Man, don't put him up in there. He would have right. He would have rocked him from the bone.
He didn't represent that right.
Right. So I'm going to bring Yehuda, Sister Yehuda is still on, and I want to hear her interpretation. I'm going to bring also on, we still got some more flavor, Sister Hadora of Illinois.
Let's bring her on, yes.
May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot.
Oh,
Shalom.
Hadora. Most High bless you.
Shalom, shalom, family. Hallelujah. All praise to the Most High God. I'm listening. I'm in a listening mode today.
Oh.
I'm learning. Hallelujah.
Okay, Emma, I'm just going to leave your mic on hot because you get a feeling and the mic will come off hot for you. So I'm going to leave it on hot. You put yourself on mute. If you're inclined to speak, let it be spoken.
I will say this one thing, and as we go through the word of Yah, we can be mindful how Yah said what he meant and he meant what he said. We are to live by every word, every set of instructions, anything outside of what he has given, it brings wrath upon us. When we start doing things our way and going against the written Torah, the written set of statutes, judgments, commandments, and start doing and putting our flavor to it, it's no longer Yah. We're no longer obeying Yah. Now we're going according to the teachings of man and the dictates of our own heart. And that's what
Amen.
Gets us in trouble. And that's what Amen. Keeps us in trouble today.
You better believe it, Ema. You better believe it. Well, Ema, as I said, I'm going to leave your mic on hot because I know how to, when the Most High Spirit move you, you're going to get fired up. You just like me. So stop pretending like you don't get fired up. I'm just leaving it on.
I'm going on mute.
Yes, ma'am.
He won't let you be quiet, Ema.
Hey, look here, Ema, Yehuda. You know what? The reason why I said that? Because it isn't like called the kettle black, okay?
All right. You know I'm taking with you.
Okay. All right, Sister Huda, what's your commentary on what we just studied?
You know, I was reading the version that in the scriptures about how the people did not mourn him that they did with his father. I think it was Jehoshaphat.
Right.
Even though he wasn't buried into the tombs.
Right.
And how he was in excruciating pain because of the fact that the sacrifice, like Fedora said, and I agree, he disobeyed the Most High.
Right.
Like we all do, we go on our own accord and don't think first and meditate on what the Creator and about
right.
the Creator, what he wants us to do, how he wants us, and to take study.
Right.
And you got to have the mindset. You got to want to. You have to have the desire. If you don't have the desire to want to change, to want to walk in a righteous manner. We're not saying being righteous, but in your actions.
Right.
And, of course, you're going to get criticism. You know, I'm not even concerned about criticism.
Right.
I'm not concerned about what people say.
Right.
Because I've learned a lesson. When things change in your life, people walk away.
Exactly.
So their words mean nothing in terms of they're not benefiting your, what's the word I want to use? Your psychological health, your physical health.
Right.
And when people are in leadership, and this is what I get, in leadership, they have a responsibility. And I noticed a pattern of some of these Israel and Yahuda leaders wouldn't listen to the prophet.
Right.
They went on their own accord. They did their own thing. Then they got punished.
Right.
Or they saw such atrocities, and some changed and some still didn't. So I don't get upset when people don't change, because there's nothing new under the sun. They do.
I have to agree with you, Sister Yehuda. It doesn't matter, because it doesn't mean anything. Just like you, I think you're trying to say in so many words, it doesn't matter what the individual does, because it doesn't mean anything. It's only attributable to that individual. But when you start following what that individual does, I have to concur with you. Then it matters. And that's why you always have to solidify your relationship with the Creator yourself. And that's the most important thing. Make sure you have a constructive and positive relationship. And what I mean by that you're following what the Most High says, what the Most High commands, not what your leader, because sometimes, as you alluding to, leaders can get off point. And as in the case of this leader, King Jehoram, got off point, and he suffered consequences. And as you said, they didn't even bury him in the tomb. And that's pretty bad right there.
Now, I'm going to give you one example. And Ema and I briefly talked about it. We talk about so much stuff. And might even Cottrell, you can't remember.
Right.
When I observed Biden, for example, I sat back one day and observed his gestures, what he talked, and I said, this man is nuts. I know you
I kind of feel the same. I look at them little beady eyes, too, and I be thinking the same thing. And I be sitting watching him walk, you know, and I watch the nuances and the inflections of what he said. And I have to concur, something ain't right with that fella. Okay.
He's a shadow. He's a shadow. I mean, we know that it's just a puppet kind of thing, but I see the confusion when he was by Stephanopoulos.
Right,
and
right.
He's trying to dodge on a political note. When I say that, they have political answers. They don't really tell direct, you know. But anyway, that it was supposed to be a smooth transition with Afghanistan.
Exactly.
And they knew it was not going to be a smooth transition, like y'all were talking about earlier.
Right.
But my example is how this leadership is shaky and he's unstable.
Right.
And I can't predict, and I'm not trying to, but, you know, it's not because he's older. He's in his late middle 70s, I think. Someone correct me. I'm not quite sure. I know he's in his 70s.
Yeah, I think he was 76 or something, Ema.
I don't know. She said she is a cut, but she'll come in. But I see the unsteadiness in him and his wording, and not so much as scripted, but how he stumbles over his words. I mean, sometimes you listen to him, you know, and I think it took him by surprise about what's going on in Afghanistan. And it's unbelievable. Now, I don't know. I just report. how could you light a plane? Now, listen carefully. Going back to America, this is what they're telling us, with nobody in there, no passengers. I don't get it.
Right.
How does that work? You ever notice they made a statement? I said, couldn't it wait? I mean, is it that bad that they won't allow the Americans and the Afghanistans that worked for the Americans? See, something, when I look at these news reels or news, I question, because they take so much out and the public is not aware or privy to what's really going on.
Right.
Because at one point the Taliban said that we really don't want, excuse me, people leaving because of their talent.
Right.
Of their education and know-how.
Right.
They're saying one thing, but we're getting another. We're getting pictures, which is strong, of people bloodied, guns shot up in the air. So you have to decide who's telling the truth or really what's going on. how much confusion is there in Afghanistan, knowing that they raped the land and now they're ready to leave?
Well, Sister Yehuda, they have to have some certain, I'm not justifying the Taliban, but they have to have exercise a certain amount of control. It would just be like America if something happened in this country. America has to exit, which it did in the case of the rioters and the Capitol. They didn't exercise any control because they're people don't understand. America is the capital of universal white race supremacy, and so they're part of the same team. That's why they didn't do to them what they would do to us, and we had ran up in there with some flags. Okay, it'd have been Bloody Sunday or Bloody Monday, whatever day it was, it'd have been something bloody. Okay, but they're the same size of you got the finesse kind like Joe Biden. He's a finesse kind, and you got the nutties, the crazies that ran up in the Capitol. Okay, you got the finesse. Joe Biden, he ain't no but a universal white race supremacist, and he's finesse at it. Especially when he's down with that Roman Catholic stuff, you know what I mean? So, you know, I watch him with a lot of skepticism because it's with that Roman Catholic stuff going on with it. And them eyes, you know, and the fella, he's 78 years old, Sister Yehuda.
Yeah,
he
was
79
in November.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
79,
yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Right.
So
in November.
I want to bring the focus of attention back to King Yehoram.
Okay.
Because he had an ancient disease. You know what it's called?
What is it called, Jim?
I'm the head nigga in charge.
He's going to say something philosophical deep. He's
gonna say, you know what, man? You need to quit.
No. But King Yehoram killed his brothers who were royal heirs to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to do that.
No, he didn't.
But his heart went left somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the breach, it not only affect him, the Most High said, I'm going to rip your bowels out. The fact that the kings of Judah had Esau in check for all these years, right? Because that's
right.
An important part in this chapter. Judah had Esau under check, in his check, up until King Yehoram.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the breach came in, and Esau began to gain power within our nation, not in the nation of Israel, but amongst the tribe of Judah. All right. So Esau saw his opportunity as Judah's falling to do what he has done to us. This is where his plan and his scheming begins, because he see that the power of Judah is broken. And
exactly.
Judah was the last line of defense because the kings of Judah trying to hold it down.
Mm-hmm.
So this King Yehoram, son of King Jehoshaphat, he was the one that really broke the breach.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I have agree with
you. You know, that's another thing, too. It brings in understanding of nation. The kings and the priests are the reason why the nation went astray.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, and the word tells us that. That whenever the king got down wrong, the whole nation went awry. You see. And so, therefore, you know, and as Maureen just pointed out, this king was the reason why Yehuda began to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And as the word says in Genesis, the scepter will never leave Yehuda. The rulership would never leave Yehuda.
That's
and
why the Most High didn't curse him and take his kingdom from him and pass it on to his son.
Mm-hmm.
But the Most High was about to break him, like, you about to make me break my covenant with your father, King David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this guy, he went all left field. I mean, he exhibited the characteristic of the nations round about us. Total immersed into their way of doing things.
And what was he watching? Wasn't he watching his father? And
no.
How his father was successful? Because King Jehoshaphat was very successful. He made a little few mistakes here and there. But his mistakes wasn't major.
His
mistakes came from his heart, trying to align himself with King Ahab and the king after King Ahab, King Ahaziah. Most times I say, no, these men don't love me. They're not serving me. Why are you trying to align yourself with them? But I love you because you're doing the right thing. You know? Because he immersed himself in the study of Yah. And you can tell based on his actions that he was immersed in the study of Yah. Because when King Ahab set him up, he knew the exact answer. Yah, he called on Yah. Yah delivered him. Now, why his son is not taking note, King Yehoram, he's following King Ahab? Oh, that's right. He was married to King Ahab's daughter. So you got to watch you marry, even if you're a king.
Right.
I'm not saying that King Ahab's daughter led him astray. But, something's fishy there.
No, it's the mindset. It's you know, because we know for a fact that the king, so many of them went astray and led the people astray. And, like, it's true. Any leadership can influence the populace. And this is what happened.
Especially a
king.
And you know,
I was given. Go ahead.
Yes, and Sister Yehudah and Katriel and Imaldo, I would have to agree with Katriel. Marrying that woman, I'm not saying this just because she was a female, but the fact of the matter, because she was from Jezebel.
Jezebel's daughter.
Jezebel's daughter. So come on now. How was Jezebel? How the mama was?
Well, their culture was different. Their culture,
right,
you know,
it's
different.
Right.
And they did things different. And the way they, it's just like here in the United States.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So we've assimilated so well, I don't even think we know who we are sometimes.
We don't.
We're so lost.
We don't. Yeah.
It's obvious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who we are. And for those who claim that, you know, we have awakened and whatever, we have yet to take Yah his word. You see, we still want to do things our way and put Yah on the back burner. And then if it don't work out our way, then we want to pull him forward to straighten it out and then put him back on the back burner again. You see, and it's once we come to really understand Yah's simplicity, and the simplicity of Yah is what our kings didn't understand, either King David did. But at the end of the day, it's all about Yah. It's his word. If it's anything contrary to his word, it's no good. We need to ask ourselves, why would the Almighty go through the whole dilemma of laying out Torah? Every word, every color, every dot, every inch, everything that's there is all the word of Yah. And then tell us, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't turn to the left nor to the right of the order that I have set down and put in place. And then tell you, that's all right. Y'all do it your kind of way, and it's still acceptable. It doesn't even add up. It doesn't make sense. Yah was precise in all he gave. And we're reading right now where the king turned against the word of Yah and it brought penalty upon him, didn't it?
Exactly.
Not only did it bring penalty upon him, it brought penalty upon the nation.
Well, see, Yah doesn't change. He didn't change his word, change his mind. He's not fickle like us. These people out here that try to change Yah's word, they try to make Yah like he's some fickle old man, like Joe Biden, that changes his mind whenever.
Uh-huh.
You know, it doesn't work like, and I had to concur with you, Imar Dora. It doesn't stand the reason. Yah is a fickle old 78-year-old man. And I well, do whatever y'all want to do, however y'all want to do it. It's okay with me. But after you said, like, no, Eva, you were right. There's no way he would go through crossing every T, dotting every I, and that's all right. Just do whatever you want to do. Come on, it doesn't stand with me.
So we don't know the fundamentals of scripture, of the Holy Bible. First and foremost, we don't understand the power of Yah's words. But he tells us in the beginning. In the beginning, Yah created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? He spoke it.
He spoke it.
Into existence.
And it came into existence, right? So he tells us it's not by might nor by strength, but by what? That which proceeds
my
out of
spirit.
What? My mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So Yah's word is established, which is why he crosses the dot. I mean, crosses the T's and dots the I's and makes sure you know what's in the contract and reiterates it over and over and over again. Because Yah's word is not like man's word. Yah's word is ultra powerful, right?
Exactly.
And it's everlasting. He doesn't have to say something and take it back. When he says it, it's going forward. He said, I speak, and it's not going to come back what? Void.
Right.
Void. It's going to proceed and do what I sent it out to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how valuable is Yah's word if it created the heavens and the earth?
Mm.
But we take it lightly, put it on the back burner, like Ema said. You cannot put Yah's word on the back burner.
Well, if you do, you're a fool, and it's going to cost you.
That's what we see with the kids.
It's going to burn you every time. It's going to burn you
Yehoram
every time.
Put Yah's word behind him, because King Yehoram had access to the writings of King Solomon, to the writings of King David, to the writings of the prophets and Moshe. He had access. But he put it behind his back, and guess what? Most of them will rip your bowels out, son.
Yeah, Cartrell said here, I'm the nigga in charge of disease.
That nigga in
that.
Charge disease.
Okay. Well, Cartrell, Ema, Hadar, Sister Yehudith, I think this time, because, you know, it's family night, Cartrell provides us with one of those beautiful songs of King Darwin. His mind said his relationship with Yah. As I said, it's all about relationship, people. How King Dawood had a relationship, and how that relationship should be. Katya, would you share with us one of those lovely songs?
But of course, because King David had the ultimate relationship with the Most High Yah.
Amen.
Just like our father Abraham.
Amen.
Friends.
Yeah.
They loved each other. King David loved Yah, and Yah loved King David.
You better believe
it. Most High loved Abraham, and Abraham loved Yah.
You better believe it.
You talking about a tight, close relationship and the communication that went on? Like, you know, we had to call him out when we were in trouble. And then we put him back on the back burner. No, your relationship with Yah is a daily thing, everyday thing.
Every day.
It should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be.
As he said, put him first. Put him first.
Yes.
Amen.
He is the Father and the Creator and the Maker of all things. So we give thanks and praise to our Creator, the Holy One of Yisrael, for even our King, his wisdom, and the fact that he put his words on a scroll and they last for this day on our computers.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his words give us strength and power spiritually, especially for me, because I was a young lad, around 14 years old, and I got strength and power from the words of King David.
Amen.
Here we are. King David, Psalm 64. Hear, Elohim, as I express my concern. Protect me from fear of the enemy. So if you have fears, guess where you got to go? You got to go to Yah.
Exactly.
Trust me, I have fear of heights, and I got into construction.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world am I going to be building towers in Manhattan, and I got fear of heights?
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was on the edge of the 44th story of building number 7. And I had a conversation with Yah. Yah, how am I going to do this? I'm looking at ants below me. And I heard the voice of Yah. He said, I got you. Once I hear Yah say, I got you, I'm good. I heard his voice. He said, I got you. You know my fear of height left me that day?
Yeah, Yah would have thought Katria was in the Olympics. On that little walking beam in the Olympics after that.
4-inch beams, bro. 4-inch beams.
Oh, my goodness.
The Olympic gymnast sisters ain't got nothing on me.
Y'all would have thought Katya was one of them Olympians.
They up. 4-inch beams, bro. In the dead of winter sometimes. Okay. So King David knows that Yah is protecting, and that's what we asking for, Yah's protection from COVID,
that Yah protects us from this genocide, these white people are trying to put on us. As we protect us from our brothers and sisters that would shoot us down in the street for no good reason at all. We ask for protection, Yah, just like King James. Yes? I, from the secret plots of the wicked, you know these plots on the earth are secret, you know, intended to kill us, right? From the mob of those who practice evil, who sharpen their tongues like swords. Yeah. All that propaganda that's out there trying to make our people afraid and not trust in Yah, but trust in science. And aim it for words like arrow, shooting at the innocent from concealment. So you ain't got a vaccination shot. You the one that's pushing the Delta variant. Really? Really? Okay. Suddenly they shoot, fearing nothing. They concoct an evil scheme for themselves. They enumerate their hidden snares. They say, who's going to see us? They don't know that Yah's watching them. Every move they make, Yah's watching them. Right, Yansu?
You better believe it.
When they came to attack King Jehoshaphat, Yah told King Jehoshaphat, this is what they get ready to do. They coming up on the left side on this hill right here, and Yah meet them right there. So we got the greatest spy in the world, right? We know he know what the enemy is doing, and he going to inform us what they're doing.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
He says, they devise wicked schemes, saying, we have completed our plans, hiding them deep in our hearts. And you know they got wicked plans and schemes for us. They ain't telling you outright. At least Pharaoh was courageous enough to say, kill all the Hebrew boys, throw them in the river when they're born. These people, they're killing us on the down low. They're not man enough for, they don't have the courage to kill these niggas. But Elohim shot an arrow at them. That's what the Most High does. When they plot against us, the Most High shoots arrows at them. They try to kill us with the drugs in our community, but the Most High blew it right back in their face. So now their communities are facing
You're right, yeah.
Drug abuse, right? You try to do it to us, the Most High blew it right back on y'all. And that's what he does to our enemies. And they were wounded immediately, right? They tripped over their own tongue. Their own devices. And everyone who was watching ran away. Everyone was gripped with fear and acknowledged Elohim's deeds. So we see Elohim's deeds in earth today, right? How many people are acknowledging them? Fires in Greece, Italy, Rome, Turkey, Russia. Fires in California. Hurricanes, three at a time on the East Coast. Tornadoes spawning from these hurricanes. Floods in places that have never been floods before. Tornadoes cropping up. Who's doing that? Is that arrow, Yah's arrow being shot? Everyone is gripped with fear. Pandemic, the first plague. And acknowledge Elohim's deeds. See, these people haven't taken time out to say a prayer for the world for the devastation of this pandemic. At no point in time since this thing started did they do what the people of Nineveh did. We must have done something wrong, which has caused Yah's anger to put his plague upon us. We need to take a moment to say a prayer and ask for repentance. They've never done that. And they ain't going to do that. They're too arrogant. So they trip over their own tongues, and everyone who was watching ran away. So we see them tripping over their own tongues now. Do you wear a mask or don't you wear a mask? How many shots do you need? Two shots and a booster? Come on now. You're tripping over your own tongue. Should the children wear a mask? Should the children get vaccinated? Who's safe? Who's not safe? Should we go indoors? They confused.
Hey, man, they're going to have you, well, you, your cat and dog got a mask on, okay? All right?
You got a shot and you still need a mask.
Tripping over their own tongue.
Everyone is gripped with fear. How about you? You gripped with fear?
No, man.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We acknowledge Yah's deeds, understanding what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
The righteous rejoice in Yah. Are we rejoicing in Yah? Oh, yeah, you should.
You better believe it.
Because they had fled to him for refuge. Were we supposed to run for refuge?
To the Most High?
To Yah.
Yah is our refugee camp.
Yeah, to the Most High.
I like that. I like that, y'all. Yah is our refugee camp. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You show that
all the upright in heart exalt. We should be exalted. Our heart should be filled with exaltation. Why? Because we know where the place of refuge is. We should not have fear of what the wicked are doing in the earth today, because Yahshua and the arrows at them. even though we can't see the arrows of Yah, or you might see the arrows of Yah, Yah shoots his arrows at the wicked. Trust me.
Amen.
But they're not seeing, Moray, because many of our people are caught up with this virus.
Uh-huh.
And that's because they haven't received the understanding of where their refugee camp is. You see, or where their refuge rest. They're still, many of our people are still under the illusion of Jesus. They're still thinking about, they're listening to the man. They don't know Yah. They don't know their God. And so-called conscious Israel, who can know, they're so caught up in the vein of religion. They have no knowledge of nation. They have no understanding of nation, that we're this nation in exile. And therefore, Yah has given us, as she spoke of yesterday, the antidote. But he gave a national antidote. And we have yet to understand that. So many of our people are perishing too. And so therefore, they're not understanding that this is a national thing. We got to go before Yah and tell Yah we're sorry as a nation. We keep trying to, we pick and peck at that and tear it apart, so we don't do nothing, so we keep running into the same old stalemate that we continue to do. We keep doing the same things, expecting different results, and we have yet to do what God told us to do.
And we don't even have two kings like we had in ancient times. How many kings we got today?
We ain't got no king.
I was going to say the same thing.
No, we don't have no kings, but we got a bunch of leaders.
Yeah.
And will we be led?
But the word
kings?
Says the leaders of the people, they called into air.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Do you think these leaders would submit themselves to a king?
We got about 500 King Davids walking around today.
Yes, we do.
It was bad enough when we had two kings splitting the nation. Now we got at least 500.
Yeah.
Or more. Or more. Thank you.
500.
And none of them are agreeing with each other.
Right.
And there
was,
you know,
that's a ball of confusion right there.
Well, look here. Fellow students, lead students, you know, it's Friday night, and every Friday we like to give praise and thanksgiving to Yah for the weekend and for what he's done for us and whatnot. So we're going to let Ima Hadora lead us all. She being the elders, and we're giving her, according to her respect for her being the elders, let her lead off with thanksgiving and praise to the Almighty. And Sister Yehuda. Then Cartrell and Sister Hootie, you said something about that redemption song. I'm pretty sure it's going to be relative to that song I'm going to play in closing, the redemption song. Okay?
Thank you.
Sister
Tona, yes. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So Ima Hadora, will you please lead us off in your thanksgiving and praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov?
Well, hallelujah. And I do praise Yah. I praise him with every breath I take, every thought that crosses my mind. I wanted to begin with hallelujah. I praise you, Yah. I praise Yah for his wondrous works. I praise him for his mercy. I praise him for his salvation. I praise him for not making a fool end of our people, our nation, his son, Israel. I praise Yah for his chastisement. I praise him for teaching me how to trust him. Every day when I get up, that's my prayer. Yah, teach me how to trust you. Teach me how not to be afraid. Teach me to know all about you and know that how I can just rest in your arms of protection and love and comfort. knowing that all is well. I pray for our people. I praise Yah and ask him for the mercy for our people. I look at Haiti and I pray and ask Yah, Yah, please forgive. Please, Yah, please heal. Open their eyes, Abba, so that they can see. Open their hearts so they can receive and come to know you again. Return their spirit back to you so that this suffering can come up off of them. Something is terribly wrong, and I don't know what it is, but I know Yah knows all. I pray that Yah open Israel's eyes. I pray that he show them the simple antidote for us to do that would take these judgments up off of us. Yah just told us to do one thing, gather ourselves together, come before him as his people in a collective manner and tell him we're sorry. That's how simple that our antidote is. And if we were to do that under the heavens and letting the heavens be called and the heavens and the earth be called as a witness for us, as they were called to be a witness against us during the days of Moses at Mount Sinai, all this hate will soon be over. The Almighty says, have you ever heard of such a thing, a nation born in a day? Israel, the world is waiting on us. We don't have to wait on Yah. I praise Yah for giving me understanding of his word. And I do. I truly understand the word of Yah because it's what he reveals. And it hasn't failed, not one iota. So I give him the praise, the honor, and the glory, for he is our Elohim. He chose us to be his glory. What prestige! He chose us. All this creation is waiting for us so Yah can put it up under our jurisdiction. All kings, queens, everybody that don't bow to Israel, and I'm not talking about it in a negative manner, where they're going to be kissing our boots and we're going to have the whips on them and all that foolishness. No.
Amen.
We're going to bow in honor to Israel because you are the Son of the Most High God. We are the priest of the nations to Yah. And I say it like the word says, let everything that have breath praise Yah. Everything. Hey. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Imam. Sister Yehuda, I forgot to mention our scribe that keeps us on point. She don't say very much. She's in the background. After Sister Yehuda, Sister Abiyah of New York, Sister. Sister Yehuda.
I'll say this. Yesterday, I'm sharing because I think it need to be out there. The Most High is calling me.
Okay.
I said they're applying for an application for a senior citizen home.
Uh-huh.
And as I sat in the seat, when I say the seat of authority, I was sitting where they sign in and sign out. So
right.
I'm not trying to build myself up.
Okay.
But I'm sitting there, and I feel the Most High was talking to me because I saw all this illness, this sickness. People speaking of life is clean. The place is very clean.
Right.
Kind of in a rough area, even though across the street there's a mosque. And they say that Muslims there really take care of the seniors. And there's convenience all around of stores and whatever, Secretary of State, whatever you need. And I'm looking at the road. I'm looking at the roads. They're not as smooth. They're not as refined. And I got to thinking that we can't go by our senses. This is spiritual. Maybe the Most High want me to be here.
Amen.
Maybe this is my calling. Because as I spoke to the people, and there's some that's in their 40s and 50s that are physically sick, some walking just as regular, But at the same time, I'm thinking how our people are physically and mentally ill.
Amen.
And instead of us sitting up sometimes talking, I said, maybe if this is your will, Most High, that I move there, then I can start ministering. Maybe that's my calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm beginning to feel that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And because sometimes we get so comfortable in our own spaces. And sometimes the Most High situation, if we listen. But sometimes we don't listen. I know I don't. I ain't going to sit up there and pretend. And then we find we're in a worse situation. So maybe this is for me, and I'm bringing it out there as a testimony that maybe I'm meant to be there.
Amen.
And get out of my comfort zone. Because there's so many of us need help, and we need to get out. We keep talking. We need to get out there and start helping people. So maybe this is my calling. Hallelujah. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Iman. Sister Abby, been kicked off. She'll come back on. In the meantime, here's Abby. Abby, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, brother. Yeah, Sister Abby.
Yeah.
Shalom, Brother Katra. Sisters, it's so good to hear y'all's voices.
Well, thank you. Shalom, Abia.
It's shalom. I just
it's
wanted
good to hear you.
They kicked. I don't know why they keep kicking off, but she'll come back on. In the meantime, Cartrell, dear brother, your praise and thanksgiving to Yah.
I say bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Most High Yah. I thank him for my life, my health, my strength. I thank him for directing my steps and leading me to the truth and knowledge of him and who we are, who our people are, and what we represent in the world and in his creation. And I pray that he makes us effective servants, that we can spread his word, that the world will get it right and be prepared for the day he returns to bring judgment upon the earth, especially for our people, because we've been through a lot as a nation. Matter of fact, we lost our national identity and don't even understand that we're a nation. And Yah promises to bring that back to us in a dramatic, emphatic way. So the Most High does the impossible, and that's his MO. And he's put us in an impossible situation that he's going to rectify. There's no man that can rectify Israel's situation, not even our king. And we can see that through our history, that if it don't be for Yah, we ain't nothing. Whether
exactly.
We got a kingdom or who we think we are. And we need to follow the people that are in tune with the Most High. And usually that's the most humble people that's amongst us, because Yah looks for humility in our people. And I pray that he spreads humility in the midst of us, because that's where our power lies. All our great prophets, they had humility, which is why Yah gave them the powers that he gave them. And he's waiting to give them to us, but we're not humble enough to receive them. Because if we had the powers that Moses had, we would kill each other in an instant. So,
praise Yah.
Yah knows us better than we know ourselves. He said the correction starts with you. It starts at your heart. And I examine your heart to see where your heart is at. If your heart is right, you'll be endowed with my powers, because we connected and it's covered in this contract. And it's a love thing. Yah loves us. We
Amen.
Have to love it back. So I know for Amen. Me, I've loved Yah since I've had consciousness, and I'll continue to love him all my life, for the rest of my life, forever and ever. And I pray and I hope that I can meet up with King David in the days
Amen.
To come and be right alongside of him and be praising Yah right along with him.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Katria. Abia, your mic is hot. Sister Abia, I think the alphabet boys are at you tonight. Okay.
The alphabet boys knows that Sister
yeah.
Abia steady Eddie.
Yeah, they didn't want to hear Abia tonight, but we want to hear you. And I want to give praises to these beautiful sisters, these valiant, these good-minded sisters, and Cartrell, whom Gregory little four-year-old called him Coattail, called me Soup. I'd like to give praises and blessings to them. They are a blessing to this show in order to present. They are great ambassadors of Yah's word in order to put Yah's word out there, and they're a blessing in order to put Yah's word out there, to exercise and show relationship, especially when it comes to him and one another. I'd like to give praises and blessings to his name for everything, for the food we eat, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, the blessing for our nation. I like to ask the Most High to forgive this nation, forgive our family and fathers, and bless this nation, because we bless and praise this holy name, and ask us to forgive us of our shortcomings and to bring us back home one of these days, as Katria alluded to, so perhaps he can restore our soul for his name's sake, and we can have the opportunity to see men like Joseph, sisters like Deborah, sisters like Queen Esther, sisters like Hadara, sisters like the Hudith, sisters like Abia, and so on and so forth, so we can come together and help lead this nation in the right direction in the future. May the Most High praise and bless us. May the Most High protect us. And may the Most High love us, and may we love him. Sister Yehuda,
Hallelujah.
I want to ask you, you were saying something in regards to redemption before I played. Get ready to get out of here. What were you saying?
Right.
What were you saying in regards to
We did play the redemption song, but it was another song that Bob Marley made that had one redemption. It was a revolutionary song. I can't think of the name of it.
Right.
He didn't make just that song. I know he made Redemption, but it's another one, and I don't know. So I have to take the time to look it up.
Right. A redemption song. It said it wasn't redemption. Okay.
It's another one. It's another one that he talks about the struggles and things like that, but I just can't think of the name. And I couldn't find it on, Google.
Was it Don't Worry, Be Happy?
Well,
is it This Is Love?
No.
No, it was not a shot to share.
Well,
what's the Buffalo
Soldiers? What'd you say?
What's the Buffalo Soldiers?
That's one of them. There you go. Ooh, Imador, you cool.
Imador know her business.
She do.
What about One People, One Love?
Yeah.
What
and
about
Buffalo Soldiers?
What about Stir It Up?
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, play that, because I don't remember.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I'm going to pick one for you, and I hope that's what you like.
Well, I like all of what he does.
Okay, well, I'm going to pick a nice one for you.
Okay.
Well, may the Most High bless each of you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Before you do that, I'd just like to share this real quick. I was coming home from work one night, and I was playing Exodus. And unbeknownst to me, I was driving 105 miles an hour.
Right.
And when the police pulled me over, he asked me, how fast were you going? Did I know how fast I was going? The baby, I said, Bob Marley, talking about Exodus. I was trying to Exodus out of here.
You ought to quit.
Did he give you a ticket?
He didn't give me a ticket. I said, I got caught up. I said, we got people, and we're going to be going home soon. I'm so sorry. He said, well, who did you say that? I said, Bob Marley. He said, well, watch your speed. It's something to that effect. It's been so long ago. Watch your speed. And this time I'm just going to give you a warning, you know.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. You found out you got a lead foot, Ema.
Yeah. I guess Ema Hadora has picked the closeout song. Exodus. We finna give it the Exodus.
Yes. Be did, with her lead foot.
So let me find out you got a lead foot, Ema.
Yeah.
Oh, I do. I drive fast.
Exactly. Well, I don't know what y'all want, but Sister Yehuda.
We got to get out of here. I know.
We've been the Exodus out of here. For the most high mission. Greg, keep in order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Trust in the most high. Let him direct you, get your new heart and a new spirit. That spirit is steadfast. Mm-hmm. That's heart. Love the most high. But all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. In your brothers and sisters as yourself. In the thirst after righteousness. We love you. And we finna exit us out of here. Shalom and good night.
Okay. Yeah.
Yahweh.